Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Cipriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Cipriano, and my guest today is Joan Seckler. Joan Seckler is a longtime activist and a filmmaker presently. She, along with Richard Perez, they have produced together a film called Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election. And that's what we're going to be talking about, although we could talk about a lot of things since Joan has been involved in many, many things over many, many years as an activist trying to, you know, making a better world. So I'm very inspired by the fact that she has done this film. And I just saw it last night. It's very good. And as it, again, it's called Unprecedented. It's about the battle for the presidency in Florida and the undermining of democracy in America. So, Joan, with all the many things in your life you do besides working a full-time job as a physician's assistant, what made you decide to do this film?
Well, as a media activist with the Independent Media Center, I've worked with collectives of people in Los Angeles where I'm based, covering a lot of issues around union struggles, the fight against racism, the fight for more jobs, etc. However, in November of 2000, all of us were glued to our television sets watching how this election was stolen, watching how the Republicans manipulated the election with the help of the Supreme Court to stop the counting of the votes, and watching how the Democratic Party did nothing about it. And so in January 20th, 2001, George Bush was inaugurated as the 43rd president of the United States. And there were literally 20,000 people in Washington, D.C., protesting the legitimacy of his office, as well as demonstrations all over the country. And so it was at that point that I decided to initiate this project of actually investigating what happened in Florida and how did George Bush land in the White House. And another person from the Independent Media Center, Richard Perez, joined me, and we've worked on this film for a year and a half and just completed it in August of 2002.
Mm-hmm. And I think the very fact that you did the film, as with other documentaries too, especially about political issues, it's hard to get money. It's not like you're fabulously rich. As I say, you have a full-time job as a physician's assistant. And you actually had to use a lot of your own money, and it can't have been easy. And I think it won some awards, right?
When we started this project, I got on the phone and I made a lot of phone calls to Florida to make contacts with people whom we could eventually interview. And after those contacts were made, which took several months, I took out approximately $20,000 from my pension savings account and use that money to begin the production of our film. We went down to Florida many times to do interviews, and eventually in the summer of 2001, we put together a 10-minute trailer, which was a preview of the film to come. And the trailer was sent out to many people in the film industry, other filmmakers asking for help, asking for money, asking for a place to edit our film, etc. And we eventually got a response from a wonderful executive producer and director and producer in Hollywood who's made 45 films, mainly for TV, but also for the screen, who has very progressive politics, and loved our trailer, really believed in what we were doing, realized how passionate we were, and that we didn't have any money. And so he offered us a free edit facility and the use of his offices, and we had a mailbox, we had secretaries, etc. And without him, we would never have been able to finish this film. And we actually were in his post-production facility for a year, intermittently, working on this film, taking periodic trips down to Florida, Washington, D.C., and New York, coming back, editing more. Our editor was an award-winning editor.
He, you say the name of the person that was, because I don't think you've said that yet, the producer, right?
No,
not the producer. Anyway, this person
producer,
you're talking about.
Yeah, his name is Robert Greenwald. And he's been in Hollywood for many, many years. As I said, he produced, directed, or executive produced 45 films. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get an editor to help us who was just marvelous. He edited Hoop Dreams and other award-winning documentaries. And he's had 30 years of experience. This was our first documentary film, starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. So he guided us through the whole process because we had over 100 people we had interviewed. We did a tremendous amount of research. Just about every journalist, lawyers, professors were writing books about what happened in November 2000. And we had to sift through all of it. And we had to do a lot of fact-checking, a lot of research in order to come up with a well-documented frontline-style documentary. Mm-hmm. So without Robert Greenwald and his post-production facility, and without Bill Hogsey and his wonderful editing skills, we would not have been able to finish this film.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I knew something about the story before I saw the film, but seeing it on film is actually, I guess it's, you know, it's using another sense. It's an, and it was very well done graphically. I still have in my mind some of these images that I saw last night about how names got switched around, but in the ballots, and just to be able to see that visually makes it even more understandable the lengths that were gone to basically manipulate the election. And this is, needless to say, a very serious matter. I don't know. What has been your experience, Joan Seckler, traveling around the country, showing your film, and in terms of people's awareness of that the president really wasn't elected and that this incredibly dishonest stuff went on? I don't know whether, maybe you should talk about the dishonest stuff first, or what the people's reaction are, both of those questions.
We finished our film in August, and we took our documentary, which is just under an hour, down to Florida to screen it to the thousands of people down there who were the victims of a crime. And they were very appreciative of this documentary because what we did was to put together the story so that it was it's understandable to anybody who doesn't know anything about this election. And it really pinpoints the deliberate effort on the part of Jeb Bush, governor of Florida and brother of George Bush, and the Republican Party, and how they deliberately manipulated the election prior to November 7, 2000 in order to suppress the Democratic vote. And what they did was the following. Florida is one of 12 states in the United States that has a 200-year-old law in their state, which basically says that if you've been convicted of a crime and served time and come out of jail, you can still never vote the rest of your life. Most states, you've convicted of a felony, you've served time, you're back in society, you automatically get your voting rights restored. But Florida and many other southern states still have this Reconstruction law on the books. So what Jeb Bush and Katherine Harris, Secretary of State, who also was a co-chair of the George Bush for President campaign in Florida, which it's in itself was a conflict of interest, what they did was to hire a private company to create a centralized database in the state of all the people who supposedly had been convicted of a felony so that that list could get out to all 67 county supervisors of elections so they would know who was not allowed to vote legally. But what Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris did was to tell this private company to include names of people in the state of Florida who were registered voters who had similar spelling or similar birth date as a convicted felon. So if one of the people we interviewed in the film is a reverend from the state capital, Tallahassee, he's been voting for 30 years in his community in the same precinct, as well as his family. He went to the polls on November 7th, and when it was time for him to vote, they told him he was not on the registration roll. He said, "That's impossible." He said, "I've been voting here all my life." So they made him get into another line, and eventually, in the other problem line, they again looked through the roster of every single registered voter in his county, and he still was not on the list. So he made them call the supervisor of election in downtown Tallahassee to find out why he wasn't on the rolls. And to make a long story short, they told him over the phone that he had been purged from the voter roll because he was a convicted felon. Now, his name is Willie Whiting.
He must have been livid.
He was furious. He said, "When am I going to get my lawyer? Because I will sue all of you." His name is Willie Whiting. Well, there was a convicted felon whose name was Willie Whiting Jr. So anyone who had a similar name, Bill White, Bill Whiting, Billy Whiting, Willie Whiting Jr., Willie Whiting Sr., all of them were captured and put on this felon list and told that they were not allowed to vote. There were 56,000 names on this list. And recently, this private company, in a settlement out of court, because they were sued by civil rights organizations, including the NAACP, over this issue.
The company that did this, the database
correct.
Thing that looked for all these names and took them out.
Right.
Of that company? Yes.
Yeah. They were called Database Technologies, and they were based in Boca Raton, Florida, in the south of Florida. They have since been bought by another company based in Atlanta called Choice Point. But it was called Database Technologies, or DBT, at this time. They testified that at a U.S. Civil Rights Commission hearing, they testified that they were specifically told by the state not to match the names exactly. That if the names didn't match, that was okay because the Division of Elections would sift through the names and they would make sure that the proper people who should be able to vote weren't on these lists. It was a lie. It was a total lie. This private company settled out of court with civil rights organizations very recently, a few months ago. They took the names and they put them through their computers with exact matches of last name, first name, middle initial, date of birth, gender, race. 95% of the names on the list should not have been there. There are literally tens of thousands of innocent people who cannot vote in this upcoming November 2002 election because they are still scrubbed off the rolls. Now, another part of this lawsuit, settlement on this lawsuit that the civil rights organizations filed is that the Division of Elections is going to have to restore all those names on the list. That's not good. That will take a year. It'll take a year. So it's not going to happen in this very crucial election on November 5th where Jeb Bush is running for governor again. Mm-hmm. Now, when we went down to Florida after our documentary was completed, people felt that this was a wonderful organizing tool to use to try to defeat Jeb Bush. And that's the purpose of our film, to try to use it as an organizing tool in the future. So people bought videotape copies from us as we traveled 2,000 miles crisscrossing the state screening this film. We sold 1,000 copies of the video in person all over the state. People in turn took those videos and they screened it in their living rooms, churches, synagogues, classrooms, large campus auditoriums, community centers. It's been screened all over. And it's just been one of the organizing tools to defeat Jeb Bush. Now, the Democrat who was running against Jeb Bush for governor, he was about 20 points behind Jeb Bush when we first came to Florida in mid-September to screen our film. He is now 7 points behind Jeb Bush. We don't know what's going to happen on November 5th. It's a very tight race.
And as we speak right now, it's November 3rd, I think. So we only have 2 more days and we'll find out. And your partner in production here of Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election film that you just made, has left today, right, to go to Florida?
Yes, Richard Perez took his camera along with 5 other video camcorders and went down to Florida today on Sunday, November 3rd. And what he'll be doing is giving these camcorders to election monitors so that when election irregularities or injustices occur on election day, November 5th, they will be there to videotape it and document it. There will be a lot of lawyers, politicians, and even people from Hollywood like Alec Baldwin coming down to monitor the election on November 5th because they are really worried that, again, people are going to be disenfranchised when they go to the polls.
Well, Joan Seckler, that is really wonderful that you did this film with Richard Perez and that you're having an effect in using it in this way. Have you gotten any death threats or anything? Has anything bad happened to you from the powers that be?
No. When we made this documentary, we tried very hard to get a Republican to interview with us because it does show how they deliberately manipulated the election in order to get George Bush in power. And not one Republican would talk to us. Subsequent to the finishing of the film and screening it all over Florida, it's being screened in at least 20 film festivals. We rarely get a Republican making nasty remarks. They basically just keep their mouths shut. So they haven't tried to sue us. They haven't done anything to oppose us in any way, which makes me feel that our film is very well documented and we told the truth.
Yeah. Well, and the whole issue of this kind of corruption, this kind of dishonesty and manipulation, I mean, there's always the question about how many people are kind of basically honest and how many people go to this extent and how many people even knew that that's exactly what was happening. It was interesting to hear that the database-based company didn't really understand what was happening because they thought it would be cleaned up. And so, I mean, you find people just doing their job. And a lot of times people say, oh, well, you know, it couldn't have happened because it would take, I mean, 911 and U.S. involvement in that, or some people from the U.S.'s involvement in that is one of my pet projects, and I think it's very important. And people always say, oh, well, these things can't happen because it would take too many people and somebody would leak it. But the point is it doesn't necessarily take a lot of people. And when you say they did it, I'm wondering exactly who you are talking about was behind this, because there are, I mean, things don't just happen, even though they may be systemic. They also happen because of people with names and addresses doing certain particular things. So if you could enlighten us about that, Joan.
Well, what we say in our film is basically that it was the state government. It was Jeb Bush. It was Catherine Harris, Secretary of State. And it was the people who worked under her, including Clayton Roberts, the head of the Division of Elections. All of them were involved in this.
And they knew exactly what they were doing.
They knew exactly what they were doing. And there were a lot of other unintentional problems that happened during the election, like the infamous butterfly ballot. There were a lot of machines that weren't working. There were a lot of voters who didn't follow instructions, and they voted twice instead of once, and their ballots were rejected. So there were a lot of problems. But the bottom line is that the one way that the state government was able to suppress the Democratic vote was through this felon purge list. Why? Because we do know in America that the criminal justice system is overrepresented by African Americans. And so this list was over 50% African American, even though they only constitute about 12% in the whole state. So what they did was to capture names of innocent people whose names had similar spelling to convicted felons. And a lot of them were African Americans. In the state of Florida, African Americans vote 93% Democratic. So this was a plan to scrub people from the rolls who were Democrats. And this was done before November 7th, 2000.
Yeah, so obviously it never was cleaned up. So these people knew exactly what they were doing. In fact, in the film, in your film entitled "Unprecedented," the 2000 presidential election, the way you could do it film wise was to show the comparison of the names. I mean, imagine not paying attention to gender and birthday, but just a name. I mean, it's really outrageous. A name that's not even the same name and taking it off. I mean, I'm repeating this because it's taken me a while to get it, and it's just 150% dishonest. And what did you learn? Did you learn anything in particular about the Supreme Court or about the? I heard that there were roadblocks preventing people, a lot of people from going, especially African Americans and Latinos, I think, also from going to the polls.
There were a lot of stories that we heard about when we were in Florida, the many visits that we took to interview people. We heard that there were cases of roadblocks where people in African-American communities would drive to the polls and about, a half a mile away from the precinct, there would be a roadblock with police stopping to ask where they're going, asking for their ID, etc. We also heard about another situation where in the black community, people would pile a whole group of their friends in their neighborhood into a van and drive to the polls before it closed to vote. And they would be stopped by police and asked if they had a chauffeur's license. And the drivers would say, well, we're just driving to the polls. And the cops would say, well, you have to have a chauffeur's license. If you don't, well, you're going to get arrested. So we're going to have to turn you around and go home. We did hear these kind of stories, but we were never able to find the actual individuals who experienced them. So we couldn't put it in the film. But there were so many terrible things that happened in November 2000.
And, of course, these terrible things continue, and who knows if we had a different president, if they would be any different. They might be, they might not be. But there's certainly a lot of terrible things happening, and we don't have to go into right now, but you can certainly hear about them on a lot of these other programs, and you can notice them if you just look around, probably look into yourself and your own lives. So this is a very, very important issue. So, Joan, where else have you been? And again, what kind of do you feel that have you gotten the impression that most people are aware and concerned, not only in Florida but other places where you've been too, and they've been very shocked or they've kind of known, or what kind of reactions have you gotten about your film?
Well, just in Florida alone, even though people lived through this, a lot of them did not know about the felon purge list. And so it was a real eye-opener for them. And it's been an eye-opener for people all over the country. We've been accepted into almost 20 film festivals in many states around the country and also in Cuba. And it's been an eye-opener for a lot of people all over. So what we're asking people to do is to go to our website, www.unprecedented.org. Read about the film and the filmmakers. Email us if you have a question, or you can purchase it online with a credit card or with a check. Please go to our website and learn more. What we would like people to do is to take this video and show it to their neighbors, their friends, their students, in their churches, in their synagogues, etc., because this is an organizing tool to build a movement to defeat George Bush in 2004.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people talking about taking back our democracy. Not that it was ever perfect by any means, in my opinion, but it's gone a lot very seriously in the wrong direction. And I hope that people do understand that. I mean, people that don't often think about these things.
When I said that this film is an organizing tool, I think people can use it in many different ways. There are people who belong to the Democratic Party who feel that the Democratic Party can be changed. I personally don't think so. I think it was a tragedy what they did in Florida, what they didn't do. They saw everything going on and they didn't do a thing about it. Gore just packed up and went home. It was really a travesty of justice. Other people want to take the film and use it to build the Green Party as an alternative party. Other people want to take the film and build a mass movement against U.S. imperialism. Whatever it is, buy the film and go out there and organize. Because if we don't become political, if we don't get the masses of people in this country to become political, they're going to ride roughshod over us in the future.
Really? Well, I want to give the name of the film and the website again. The name of the film is Unprecedented, the 2000 Presidential Election. The website is www.unprecedented. That's spelled UNPRECEDED. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, starting over, UNPRECEDENTED, unprecedented.org. So, and like Joni's saying, you can use this film in a lot of ways, but it's really important to be educated. And of course, we haven't talked about the corporate media, which is probably not going to educate you about a lot of these things. Certainly not in any depth for any amount of time. So, thank you so much, Joan Seckler.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Okay, thank you. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.